Timothy chapter 2. For those of you who are in my Sunday school class or were a couple years ago, don't throw things at me since you probably heard this before. But maybe you remember last year at weeks too. I don't know. But, all right. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read verse 1 through 8. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." All right, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so very much for this time that we can come and read your word. See what you have to say from it. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to have open hearts and minds to what you have for us. Lord, I just thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for the freedom that we have. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to bring you honor and glory in the things that we do. Lord, we just ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, so anyone like grammar when they were in school? Anyone? There you go. Mrs. Richardson. Most people are not a fan of grammar. They're in school. It must be a special kind of person who likes grammar. I didn't hate it. I'll put it that way. It was not my favorite subject, but I got along with it decently well. But I'm going to say, It's kind of like math. Either you like it or you hate it. There's hard to find a good in between there. You got a few that it's like, okay, I can deal with it, but right. That's when you get to the point where it's like, man, I should have done more with that. But although I kind of feel like that's a lot of things in life, and like, You start doing some things, you learn some things when you're younger, and then you don't get any better at it, and then you get older, and it's like, man, I should have done more with that. But, oh well, it is what it is. But anyway, I'm going to look at tonight a bunch of verbs in this passage. So, don't worry, we won't diagram all the sentences. That part I did not like of grammar. Diagramming, yeah. You can have it. I guess you can look at it as a puzzle and figure out where all the pieces go, but nah, I'll take a real puzzle. Forget the diagramming. But these eight verses here, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he is kind of laying out a pathway for Timothy. And each of these verses has a verb that Paul tells Timothy that he wants him to do. And he's laying these out, telling Timothy, hey, this is how I want you to conduct yourself as a child of God, as a soldier for Jesus Christ. And he lays this out here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He's already gone through a whole letter to Timothy. They were now in the second chapter of the second book to Timothy, the second letter. And he's like, all right, he's laid some groundwork. Like, all right, you are now in a fight. You are taking a battle to the world, the flesh, the devil. And there's things that you need to be able to do to be successful in that fight. So let's start at verse 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, he calls him here, my son. Timothy is Paul's son in the faith. And Paul has a very fatherly instinct over Timothy. It's like, hey, I want to take care of you. I want to show you the best path that you can possibly take. As a father, you want to lay the best groundwork that you possibly can for your children. Now, you can only do so much, and there's no guarantee that they're going to follow that groundwork, that pathway. But you want to try to lay it out as best as you possibly can, make it as easy as possible for them to make the right choices and to follow that correct path. Again, never going to be 100% followed, but it gives them a better opportunity, a better path forward. So he tells Timothy, says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The first thing he tells Timothy is, you need to be strong. But he doesn't just tell him, hey, be strong. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Because that is where your strength lies, in the grace of Jesus Christ. Because without the grace of Jesus Christ, we're a failure. We are. We are nothing without Christ. And we have no strength without Him. And sometimes it feels like you go into something and sometimes you feel like, huh, I can't face this. And it's like, wait, did I ask Christ to give me the strength to face this? Or am I trying to do this on my own? In which, if I do, I'm going to fail. And so Timothy says, Paul says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to look at a few places where God tells someone, hey, be strong. Obvious first example is Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. God tells Joshua, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now here in these four verses, God tells Joshua specifically three different times, be strong, be strong, be strong. And now Joshua is at this point 80 years old. And he seems to be in pretty good health for an 80-year-old. Especially these days. If we could be what Joshua was back then at 80, we'd be doing pretty good. But somehow I don't think any of us are going to make that. At least I'm sure not. But God tells Joshua, all right, you're taking over from Moses. You are going to lead the children into the promised land. You are in charge of these millions of people. I want you to be strong. He tells them that, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and very courageous. And then verse 8, he says, for this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Joshua's strength is tied to the book of the law. And then in the end of verse 9, He says, "For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So Joshua, all the way back here, 1500 years before Christ, God tells him, be strong. And where your strength is in the book of the law and the Lord God. And that's where our strength has to come from. Because our strength is not going to come from us. It's just not going to happen. But Joshua was told over and over again, not even just these three verses, hey, be strong. Be strong, be strong, be strong. I mean, you've got to have some strength to be able to lead however many millions of people the children of Israel were at this point. At least, I would say, at least a couple million. And again, you're going to get to the point where I don't have the strength to do this. Ask Moses. Moses got to the point where he's like, God, I'm done. I'm done with this. I can't do it anymore. And the only way to have that strength to lead these people for Joshua here is through the book of the law and the Lord God. So God tells Joshua, be strong, be strong, be strong, over and over and over again. And Joshua ends up taking these children of Israel into the promised land. They conquer a lot of people. Not quite everybody that they should have, but they conquer a lot of people. And God, Joshua is able to fulfill what God has for him to do by finding the strength to do so in the book of the law and through God. Let's go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Chronicles 28, verse 9. It says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Now here, David is giving an address to his son Solomon. David is on his deathbed at this point. And Solomon is getting ready to take over as king. And David tells Solomon, "All right, I have some things for you." Again, a father laying the best path that he can for his son. And he tells him, hey, first off, know thou the God of thy father. That's where it starts. Know your God. And Solomon started off good. Followed God, worshipped him. But at the end of this, he tells him all these different things that he needs to do for God, with God. And then at the end, he says, all right, you're going to build the house of God. I need you to be strong and do it. And a lot of times, to do the things that we need to do, that God has for us to do, it is going to take more strength than we possess. And when we look at some of the things that are laid out for us to do, it kind of feels like God says, all right, you know what? I know this isn't your cup of tea, but I'm going to have you do this. Because that's going to prove to you that you're not doing this on your own. It's through the strength you find in me. Because if it was up to you to do this, you'd be like, I can't do it. I can't do this. There's no way. But even when we have a task to do, even when we have a calling that we look at and say, there's no way I can do this. The amount of people who have said, if you told me 15, 20 years ago, whatever, that I would be doing this, whatever this might be, many times it's pastoring, I'd have looked at you and laughed in your face. There is no way, no possible way that I would do that. And yet, there they are. And it's an example of, if I had to face this on my own, I'd go crawl under a rock and say, not a chance. But when we go to God and we find that strength to overcome, a lot of times it's the fear in us or the uncertainty in us that says, you can't do that. You can't face that. There's no way you can do that. But I can with God. I can have that strength if I've got the Word of God, if I've got Jesus Christ helping me. That's where I find that strength. And that's when I can do the things that I would look at and say, there's no chance. There's no way. I'm not going to go down that road. I can't. But we can through Christ. Let's look at another one. Daniel chapter 10. He's blowing bubbles at me. Daniel chapter 10, verse 18. Says, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Now here, when we think of Daniel, we don't think of someone who is weak and can't fulfill the task that God has for him. I don't think of that. But at times, this is one of them. Daniel had just had this vision here by the river, and was like, oi, got to his head. Wow. And it made him weak. If you look at verse 16. It says, behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Daniel's like, I'm wiped out. I have nothing left. There's no breath in me. Do you ever run to the point where it's like, I can't breathe anymore. I just can't keep going. So when those marathoners, your mind has to say, hey, no, yes, you can. I'm like, forget that. I am not a marathoner. I'll sprint a couple times. But no. If you run a marathon, if you don't have the mindset to do it, you're not going to finish. Because, yes, it's physical, but long before you get to the end, your body's going to say, you know, you're done. You can't keep going. And your mind's like, all right, no, I can do this. But Daniel here has this vision, and it sapped his brain, essentially. He's like, oh. You have also, there's also then the time where you may not be doing anything physical, but the mental load that some task can put on your brain, you are physically exhausted when you're done. And you didn't necessarily even do anything in the physical sense, really. But your brain had to work so hard. Some of us, our brain has to work so hard to do anything. But, you know, life's a struggle sometimes. But sometimes you use your brain, your mind so much, it tires you out physically. And Daniel had this vision, and it was so much for his mind. He's like, I have no more strength. I can't do this anymore. And that's when God sent an angel down, said, all right, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm giving you strength. Now he says, in verse 19, and when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Now, obviously this is coming from an angel, but I think words can strengthen other people. Your words can help give strength to other people too. Now, sometimes we get around people that it feels like the more you listen to them talk, the tireder you get. It's like, I can't do this. I can't listen to you continue to talk. It's just a drain on your energy. But then there's other people. The words that they speak to you, they give you strength. And we should try to help someone gain strength through our words. Help build someone up, give them strength just by the words that we give them, the encouragement that we can be to other people. But just kind of a sidebar there. Try to be someone who builds up other people's strength around you rather than someone who drains them. But anyway, so Daniel faced this time. He's like, all right, I'm exhausted. I can't. I have no more breath in me. And he was strengthened by God. Let's look at Haggai. One other one here in the Old Testament. Haggai 2. Had a foray into the minor prophets. Let's start at verse 1. It says, in the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Now here in this, we're talking about the house of God, the temple. And God tells them, hey, you remember this, how it used to look and how it looks now? And they were seeing this and they were getting disheartened. And they were losing the strength that they had just out of sheer disappointment and discouragement. And God tells Zerubbabel and Joshua and the remainder of the people, each one of them individually, all right, be strong. Be strong. Be strong. And then the next thing he says after that, he says, be strong and work. Work gives you strength. Wait, that's backward. No, you work and you lose strength. But the more you work and the more you work, the more you gain strength and strengthen. And if you don't ever work, guess what? You lose your strength. You lose that strength. And God says, hey, I want you to be strong and work. Work to keep that strength. Work for me. And keep up that strength that you find in me. You're going to face discouragement. You're going to face disappointment, and it's going to sap your strength. But face that disappointment, face that discouragement, work through that and find strength in me. Work through that disappointment. And by doing so, you're gaining more strength with help through God. Now let's look at a couple places in New Testament. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Again, Paul is talking. He's speaking to the Ephesians here. Very well-known verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's one we've pulled into the New Testament here. Again, had several Old Testament examples. New Testament example. All right, be strong. Where? In the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. His might is where our strength is. When David went and fought Goliath, obviously he was not stronger than Goliath. I mean, Goliath was a giant. But David had the power of God, the might of God on his side. And that trumped any strength that Goliath had. In this context here, God says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And He then goes on to say why we need this strength. You're going to face a fight. You're going to be fighting against flesh and blood, but also principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. You're going to need the strength to do that. There's no way to face that realm without the strength of God. There's no way. We will buckle under without it. And it seems, God kind of lays it out. It's simple. Hey, it's right there for you. Doesn't always feel simple in practice. But it really is, hey, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the armor of God. It will protect you. And you can go into battle and fight through the strength of God. One more place. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Sorry, not one more place for the night. One more place for this idea. I don't want to be that person. One more place and then five more time. Thank you. I'll try not to do that too. That's not what I had in mind there. I was looking at verse 3. Verse 13 of chapter 16 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Again, God is just saying, hey, I want you to be strong. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. You stand in what you know to be true. You stand in the faith of Jesus Christ, and you can be strong in Him. So that's the first verb that Paul tells Timothy, all right, this is what I want you to do. Be strong. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 2. Verse 2 now. It says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, Paul has already gone through an entire letter written to Timothy, essentially overfilling him with knowledge. teaching him the things that he needs to be able to live this successful life as a follower of Christ. And Paul says, hey, I've got this knowledge that I want to give you. I want to pass this knowledge on to you so that you can live your Christian life in the best way possible, the way God wants you to do. Now, I want you to take what I have given you, and I want you to pass that on to others. I want you to commit that to others around you. He says, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The best way to teach a lot of people an idea is to teach several people who can then go teach several people, who can then teach several people. God says, I want you to commit what I am telling you to faithful men so that they can go out also and continue the chain. And we can teach what God wants us to do to them. Now, for us, Matthew 28, verse 19. Kind of where it starts. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, first thing we want to do is, hey, teach others about Jesus Christ. Teach them, hey, this is the way of salvation. This is how you get to heaven. This is how you fulfill your purpose in life. Teach them about Jesus Christ. Show them the way, the truth, and the life. That's how we need to start. Teach them that. Show, hey, this is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what takes away the sins of the world. And let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 27. Says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Here he lays out, hey, we want to give others, show others the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we have Christ in us. God calls that a mystery because, I mean, Jesus Christ is seated in heavenly places. He's on the right hand of God, and yet he's also inside each one of us if we've trusted Christ as our Savior. Like, how is that even possible to the finite mind? It's not to the finite mind. That doesn't make any sense. But, which is why God says, hey, this is a mystery, but this is how it is. And he says, I want you to teach others that. It says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's how we grow closer to Christ, how we grow closer to God, increase our knowledge in him as we learn about what Jesus is to us and how he is always here for us no matter what. He, Christ in us. It's an amazing thing, really. But we want to commit these things to others. One more place, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. Timothy 2:24 is kind of laying out some things here, and he says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." We as followers of Christ, as children of God, we should be ready and willing to teach others about what God has in the Bible, about what God wants for each one of us. We should be apt to teach. We should be ready and willing to be able to teach. Now, some people, your calling is not being a teacher. But even if we're not a teacher, we still have the ability to teach others in certain instances. It may be, this is how God has set it up for you to be able to teach this specific person this particular thing about him. And we don't have to be a teacher. We find the strength in Christ to do what we wouldn't typically do, but be able to do what God wants us to do. And be apt to teach, apt to give out information of God. So, Paul tells Timothy, I want you to first off be strong, and then I also want you to commit the things that I've given you to others, to faithful men. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. If you're in 2 Timothy 2 already, page back. Verse 3 now says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now he gets to the ones like, all right, this one's... Anytime you say endure, like, oh. That's not a fun connotation there. And enduring implies something that is not going to be pleasant. Sometimes it's enduring in life some training you have to do. Sometimes it's enduring the presence of somebody else. Maybe you're the one being endured. I don't know. But sometimes it's enduring pain. Sometimes it's enduring hardships. But God says, Paul tells Timothy here, I want you to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want you to face whatever it is God has for you, endure that. Go through that with strength, with fortitude, and be able to look to God and say, God, I know you've got me. I can go through this. It may not be easy. It probably isn't going to be easy. But I can endure hardness because I have you. Now, as a Christian, we are fighting a war. And that's kind of what Paul is laying out here for Timothy. And he's like, all right, I want you to face your Christian life as if you're going off to war. Now, I have thankfully never had to go to war. I hope to never have to. But war is not something fun. War is not a picnic. War is something that is endured. War is actually what we face. We are beset on every side. A force is trying to take us down. And we're going to face hardness. We're going to face troubles and trials. And Paul tells Timothy, I want you to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4. Just a page over. 2 Timothy 4, start at verse 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they keep to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That's the ultimate goal of what we should strive for. By enduring, here he says enduring afflictions. Facing those afflictions, those trials and troubles, and enduring those, and ultimately fighting a good fight, finishing the course, keeping the faith. And Paul says, henceforth, because of that, there's laid up for me a crown of life. A crown of, right? Yeah, crown of righteousness. It's laid up for me a crown of righteousness because I endured that hardness. I endured that. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. All right, so we've gone through three of them, two and a half-ish. So, planning on being here next week for this. I will try to finish up next week on this. So, but we'll stop there for tonight. All right, any questions or comments?